So today is the commemoration of the disappearance day of Raghunandana Thakur and Vamsidas Babaji. So we'll speak about these two personalities this morning. Maybe we'll get on to the Bhagavatam after that. We'll see if we have time. And in honor of their disappearance day, or days, we will chant the prayers of the departed Vaishnavas before class, rather than Jairanamadhava.
Jayanena prema janna koruna pracho Heno prava kota gela acharya tato Heno prava kota gela acharya tato Kahamura sarparupa kaha sanyachana Kahamura sarparupa kaha sanyachana kaha Kahamora Bhaja Yuga Kaha Kavira Kahamora Bhaja Kaha Gera Guranachara Ashane Kutiva Mata Anale Pashiva Goranga gore rane di kocha gile baba Goranga gore rane di kocha gile baba Sabha sange rasange ye koi lilo vila Se sandana paya kande narutama Se sandana paya kande narutama prema Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parvati Kacharya also Teta Satyashi Shimad His Divine Grace Abhaya Chandanada Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
ISKCON, Founder Acharya, Shilabhavupad ki jai. Anandagoti Vaishnav Vrindagajai Namacharya Shilahridas Thakur Gajai Rem Say Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shivasani Gaur Bhakta Vrindagajai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Govagavata Sayam Kun Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturidam Kijai Jagannatha Swami Kijai Yuvanamai Kajai, Srimati Kalasi Devi Kajai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Kajai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bo. All glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Kajai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Hari. Read the translation to this prayer to the departed Vaishnavas. Oops, we'd like to welcome Praneshra is joining us this morning from India. Very nice. He who brought the treasure of divine love and was filled with compassion and mercy, where has such a personality as Srinivas Acharya gone? Where my Swarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where am I Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishna Das Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottama Das simply weeps. So as I mentioned, today we are commemorating the disappearance days of two great personalities, Raghunandana Thakur and Vamsi Das Babaji. So I think first we'll speak about Raghunandana Thakur because we have more information about him. So Raghunandana Thakur was the son of Somagana Timidanda Shaganan Shana Shlakya Chaksur and Miditam Gena Tasmaye Shigurave Namaha. So Raghunandana Thakur was the son of Mukunda. And Mukunda Das and there's Mukunda Das, Madhava Das, and Narahari Saharaka were three brothers who were associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they lived in a place called Sri Kanda. And Mukunda Das's son was named Raghunandana. And Mukunda Das was a doctor in the court of the Muslim king. But he was always absorbed in Krishna in spite of being a doctor for the Muslim king. And there's one story about Mukunda Das that's very, very interesting. That once upon a time, Mukunda Das was giving the king, the Muslim king, some advice about medical matters. And while he was giving advice to the Muslim king about medical matters, what happened is one of the king's servants came up and started to fan the king with a peacock fan, you know, with peacock feathers in it. And so when Mukunda saw the peacock feathers, that reminded him of the peacock feather on Krishna's head. Now, technically, that's called a vibhava. Vibhava is one of the initial aspects of bhav, or emotion. That means that emotion or that thing that stimulates the emotion. There's two types of vibhavs. One is alambana, and the other one is udipana. So alambana means that it's directly Krishna. Like obviously, if you saw Krishna walk in the room, we'd probably be pretty ecstatic. Hopefully we'd be ecstatic. Or at least we would hide, being embarrassed for all of our rascaldom. But anyway, it would evoke a particular emotion. That's called alambana. And udipana means those things related to Krishna, like if we see Krishna as devotee, or if we see a peacock feather, or if we hear the sound of a flute, or if we see a mountain, it reminds us of Govardhan. Those are all the Udipanas. And so Mukunda saw this Udipana, which was a peacock feather, on a peacock fan, and reminded him of Krishna's peacock feather. And what he did was he exhibited what's called a Vyabhachari Bhava. Talking about bhavas again. So there's different types of bhavas. Vyabhachari, there's Anubhav, there's Sattvika Bhav, Stai Bhav, etc. So a Vyabhachari Bhav is a bhav that's completely out of the control, or emotion that's completely out of the control of the person who has it. Certain bhavs we can control, like dancing, obviously, and even crying you can control to a certain extent. You just like hold your eyes closed or something like that. But this particular bhav is uncontrollable, Vyabhachari. There's 33 Vyabhachari called Sanchari bhavs also that are completely uncontrollable, and devotee just can't do anything about them when they come. Once in a while, Prabhupada exhibited that, not very often. One time in Atlanta, and another time in another time in Caracas. Yeah, Caracas, I should have known about that. And Prabhupada was just looking at the deities, and he was chanting this song, Paramakarana Paldrivijanam. Nitai Gorjan, my most merciful lords, Paramakarana, that means most merciful, two lords, Paudvijana, brothers, actually, Nitai Gorjan, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. When Prabhupada started chanting that and reciting that particular verse by Narottama Das Thakur, he immediately became unconscious. That's it, Vyabhachari Bhava. And the devotees didn't know what to do, and the devotees eventually started chanting Hare Krishna, and Prabhupada came back to external consciousness. And what happened is they asked Prabhupada, you know, what should we do when you do that? And Prabhupada just apologetically said, I don't do that very often. You know, so Prabhupada tried to hold back his bhavs or emotions. So this is what it. This is a Vyabhachari bhav. And of course, the actual bhav is the internal thing. That's described by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that in the Jiva Dharma, you have Brajanath asking this Babaji, he's asking him, how can we understand that the bhava, the emotion, is the external thing, you know, the fainting, what we describe here. But it's actually the internal. The external thing is a manifestation of the internal. The bhav means an emotion. And the exhibition of the bhav is done externally. So it's not that if one is just dancing, that's a bhav. Or if one is fainting, that's necessarily a bhav. It's the what's happening inside. Also he describes imitation bhavs, or imitations, manifestations of different emotions. So, anyway, Mukunda fainted, getting back to the story, because I got pretty far afield from the story. Mukunda fainted, fell down from the dais, because the king was on top of a platform, and because he was talking to the king on top of that platform, and fell to the ground. The king, out of great concern, rushed to the ground, and he said to Mukunda, what's happening? Are you all right? And Mukunda, not wanting to exhibit his symptoms of ecstasy or admit that he was experiencing symptoms of ecstasy, he told the king that I just have epilepsy. So, you know, obviously you're not, because there's that offense on chanting Hare Krishna. One's not supposed to explain the glories of the name, or one's not supposed to explain the intimate philosophy in Krishna consciousness to those who are faithless. It's not only the glories of the name, it's actually the philosophy about Krishna. Because anything that you, or any person you love, you're not going to talk about them before people who are actually envious. It's like if you love your children, you know, you have pictures of your children in your wallet, You're not going to just pull it out if someone hates you and show them the pictures. It's crazy. Because nowadays on Facebook, sometimes people post pictures of their children and someone else says, ooh, ugly kid, you know. So Facebook is a problem in that regard. So, anyway, more stories. So Mukunda is a very elevated, pure devotee, associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And another story is that every year, Mukunda and his two brothers, Madhava and Narahari Sarkar, used to go to Jagannath Puri to take darshan of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and take part in the Rath Yatra festival. So one year they went there, and Lord Chaitanya said to Mukunda, in a very interesting way, that here is Raghunandana, and here is you, because we know that Raghunandana was the son of Mukunda. So who is the son and who is the father? And so Mukunda, being very humble and actually recognizing the glories of his exalted son, he said, Raghunandana is the father and I'm the son. And that's actually interesting, because whoever gives you inspiration in Krishna consciousness, it doesn't matter how old they are, what race there are, whether they're men, whether they're women, and then you respect them. I mean, even we have that story of Bilva Mangal Thakur respecting Chintamani as a Shiksha Guru, because, and she was a prostitute, you know, whatever, girlfriend, as Prabhupada said. But she was a, anyway, she definitely wasn't a chaste lady. But because she gave him instruction, he actually wrote complimentary words about her in some of his poems, exalting her position, because she told him that if you had so much love or enthusiasm or determination for Krishna, you'd be a pure devotee by now. So, and then there's a wonderful story about Raghunandana when he was a small boy. And this story preceded the story of when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Mukunda, who was the father, who was the son. That once upon a time, Mukunda was called to go to some sort of medical conference or take some care of some patients. And he had these deities. So he was very concerned. There was no one to offer bhoga to the deities. So he said to Raghunandana, thinking that Raghunandana, you know, he's a great devotee, he'll figure out how to do the offering. And he said, you should do the offering. And Raghunandana, of course, didn't know any of the mantras from the Archanapadati. Actually, it's very interesting that sometimes we think that Krishna is accepting things because we know all the mantras and the mudras and everything like that, but Krishna says, patram pushpam phalam tvayam yome bhakta prayachati, that I am accepting things offered with love and devotion. You know, even there's that story, and I believe it was Vidura, who offered Krishna banana peel rather than the banana. And of course, he didn't do it deliberately. He didn't say, I love you, Krishna. He was so much in ecstasy, so he threw away the banana and offered the banana peel, and Krishna gladly accepted it. Or Vidura's wife, who offered just some porridge to Krishna, and Krishna was very happy with that. Or Sanatana Goswami, who just is simply offering some dried bread balls to the deities, to Madan Mohan. Actually, the deity's name at that time was Madan Gopal. So he was just offering some dried bread balls that were cooked in the sun. And of course the deity complained, but still the deity accepted. So it's really the devotion that's the point. And you can hear about this with Vamsidas Thakura too. A similar type of encounter, you know, how he used to treat his deities. Anyway, so Raghunandana, instead of saying the proper mantras and bowing down, he just put the food before the deities. And he said to Krishna, eat, eat. And it's described that the offering was not, at least externally, being consumed by the deities. So he started to cry. And some stories say There's two versions of the story. One story is that he simply cried and then Krishna ate everything. Another version of the story is that he took a stick and he said to the deity, "You don't eat, I'm going to hit you." Because he was worried about his father not being pleased with him. So, anyway, so when his father, Mukunda, came back, Mukunda asked him, "Can I have some of the remnants of whatever you offered to the deity?" And he said, "Father, you know, I did what you told me to do. I made the deity eat, and he didn't leave anything over. There's nothing left on the plate." And of course, we know when we make the offering, of course, maybe we don't have devotion. So we ask our spiritual master and ask the acharyas in the line of disciplic succession to offer for us. That's the point, because Krishna says you have to have devotion. So if we don't have devotion means anyabhi lashita shunyam yana karma anavritam anukuyena krishnana shivanam bhaktarutaman, that you have no other motivation other than to please Krishna. That's really what devotion means. So very few of us, including me, I mean, at least I don't have any devotion. So we offer to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada offers to Krishna. So, and generally when we do offer, even if Krishna accepts, and Krishna doesn't have to accept, even if Krishna accepts, then Krishna eats as Angani, Asha, Shakalendri, Adriti, Manti. He eats through his eyes, through his ears, and he eats, but he leaves it all over. Actually, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stated that. It's so a miracle that Krishna eats everything and then he gives it all back. And Lord Chaitanya said the prasadam of the Supreme Lord, the prasadam of Jagannath, has within it the saliva of the Supreme Personality of God. And that saliva, of course, is transcendental. So, anyway, so Krishna ate everything. And Mukunda said, "You know, you're cheating," to his son. Basically, it's not true. And Raghunandana said, "Watch, Dad." And so Dad, that is Mukunda, was outside the temple watching through the window as his son was making the next offering. This offering was just laddus because the son didn't have time to cook. And what happened is that Krishna, as Raghunandana said, eat, or threaten the deity, then Gopinath got down and ate some of the laddus, but not all of them. There was one laddu in particular that he just took one bite out of. You know, a half-eaten laddu. And so, because he had already eaten. Just like if you're forced to eat after you've had a whole meal, unless you have some emotional problems. You know, eating disorder. You know, it's not attractive anymore. Even the most attractive food is not attractive anymore. So, therefore, the deity only ate half a laddu. And when Mukunda saw this, looking in through the window, he went and embraced his son. And that laddu was, at least up to some time ago, worshipped in a temple. They preserved the laddu or something, and they put it in a temple. So he embraced his son, and he said, "You know, you're actually my spiritual master." Yes, it says here that half a laddu may be seen in Sri Khanda, where it is kept in one of the temples there. That's amazing. So, here's another story about Raghunandana. That Raghunandana and Abhiram Gopal Thakur used to dance together. Abhiram Gopal Thakur was renowned for his whip. I think the whip was called Jai Mangala, if I remember correctly. And he would take his whip and he would hit devotees and they get Krishna consciousness, pure Krishna consciousness. And he would even, he hit Srinivasacharya. This is an interesting story. When Srinivasacharya came to visit him and he hit him like once or twice. And then Abhiram Gopal Thakur's wife said, "Don't hit him again, he'll become too ecstatic to preach Krishna consciousness." So that whip is still there in a temple. So anyway, so Abhiram Gopal Thakur and Raghunandana used to dance together in Krishna Prema. And one time Raghunandana Thakur's ankle bracelet opened while he was dancing and fell into a pond. And this pond is now known as Nupura. Nupura, of course, means ankle bracelet. Nupura Kund. And this Nupura can be seen in a temple. They actually found the ankle bracelet and they established it at a temple. Because all the remnants of great devotees are actually considered worshipable. Of course, some of the remnants we can use, but some of them we can't, like the sitting place of a great pure devotee, like where Srila Prabhupada sat, or Prabhupada's bed, that can't be used. But clothes for the upper portion of the body, or let's say Prabhupada had a watch, or Prabhupada had a ring, there's many stories, or Chaturhas Shrutakirti. There was an interesting story about Shrutakirti wanted Prabhupada's chatur, and he bought a new one for Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada, being very tricky, knew what he had done and didn't give him the old chatur until Shrutakirti basically got nervous and indicated that he wanted the old chatur, and then Prabhupada laughed at him. So according to the authorities, like the Gaura Ganadesh Dipika, Raghunandana Thakura in Krishna Lila was known as Karpura Manjari. Kandarpa Manjari. That means Cupid. Kandarpa is Cupid. Manjari. And Raghunandana Thakura had a son. And his son's name was Kanai Thakura. The descendants of Raghunandana Thakura's line live today in Sri Kanda. So you can go to Sri Kanda and see some of the descendants. And here's from I'll read from the commentary, Bhaktivinoda Thakura's commentary in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Srila Prabhupada quotes this commentary. These are Srila Prabhupada's words. Sri Mukunda Das was the son of Narayana Das, an eldest brother of Narahari Tarka. His second brother's name was Madhavadas, which we mentioned before, and his son was named Raghunandana. Descendants of Raghunandana Das still live 4 miles west of the Katwa in the village named Srikanda, where Raghunandana Das used to live. Raghunandana had one son named Kanai, who had two sons, Madanurai, who was a disciple of Narahari Sarvathakur and Vamshi Vanan. It is estimated that at least 400 men descended in this dynasty. All their names are recorded in the village known as Srikanda. In the Gaura Ganadesh Dipika, it is stated that the gopi, so here's another opinion, whose name was Vrindadevi, became Mukunda Das, lived in Srikanda village and was very dear. So Vrindadevi was manifested as Mukunda Das in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, lived in Srikanda village, was very dear to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His wonderful love and devotion for Krishna are described in the Majjhalila chapter 15 of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It is stated in the Bhakti Ratnakara chapter 8 that Raghunandana used to serve a deity of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Raghunandana Thakur Ki Jai. It's interesting. When we first read Srila Prabhupada's descriptions in the Chaitanya Charitamrita about the geography of all these great devotees and their descendants, it actually created much more faith when you actually could connect these devotees to people living at the present time or villages. Like Prabhupada would describe, this village is a certain distance from this railway station. It really brings it down to earth. And you say, wow, this is real. Because many times the descriptions are really, let's say, far out, to use another nomenclature, modern nomenclature. And, they may be hard to understand. So anyway, so that's Raghunandana Thakura. As far as Vamsidas Babaji, I had some things written down in a little piece of paper here. Where is that? Here it is. Okay, so Vamsidas Babaji is a very interesting personality. He appeared in the year 1859, and what happened is his family, as many families do in India, forced him to get married. He didn't want to get married. And so he started to read the books of Narottama Das Thakur. And upon reading the books of Narottama Das Thakur, he just became so much immersed in the mood of Narottama Das Thakur, he ran away from home. He just recently been married. And he became so renounced that he would take a bath in the freezing river even when he was very sick. I mean, he had basically no bodily or external bodily consciousness. He used to carry deities with him, and like on a stick and bag, and no regulated deity worship. He would sometimes pull them out. He would talk to them, chastise them. He had a really intimate relationship with the deities. You know, this, of course, is the highest platform in devotional service. It's even higher than Raghunuga Bhakti. You know, in Raghunuga Bhakti, there's a difference. In Raghunuga Bhakti, yes, you have an intimate relationship with the deities, but you follow the Vaidhi too. You follow the rules and regulations. Even though you're not on the platform of Vaidhi Bhakti, you follow the Vidhi. You follow the rules and regulations because you want to set a good example for other people. As Krishna says in the Gita, yad yad acharati shrestas tatat evetarojanaha. So this is actually the highest platform where one can interact and argue with the deities. So one interesting example of this was he had a temple in which he installed his deities, and he never locked the door of the temple. He actually gave the keys to the deities. You know, there were locks on the door, but he actually gave, you know, there were three sets of keys or something, like three sets of deities, and he gave them keys. And he would just go away, and some nice things were stolen. And he blamed the deities. You know, we had chastised the deities when things were missing, or when a cow came in and destroyed, you know, or trampled everything in the temple room. He would just, you know, this is even one story, he just put the deities in the river, you know, and then brought them out, you know, he had a string around them. So there was he was an unusual personality, but he was very much respected by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who would regularly take darshan of him. And, you know, there's stories about, you know, tobacco and everything like that. So anyway, but he's called an avaduta. An avaduta means like the wind. Like there's no specific rules and regulations for an avaduta. So he's not setting an example for us. I mean, like Lord Nityananda also was avaduta. You know, you have Lord Nityananda. Of course, Lord Nityananda never formally took sannyas, but he was called Nityananda Gosai. And so he would do so many things that were unbelievable. Like it's described that Lord Nityananda would sometimes sit on the lap of Malini Devi, Srivas Thakur's wife. And even though, you know, he was like 7 feet, 7.5 feet tall, she was a grown lady, you know, older lady. And he would be treated like her little baby. And he would even drink the breast milk from her. And I was just like, what's happening here? Or Lord Nityananda would have his kirtanini dress so opulently, there'd be jewelry, and thieves would be actually planning how to steal the jewelry from him. I mean, nobody could really understand what he was doing, and of course, sometimes Advaita Acharya and Lord Nityananda had these interesting exchanges, Advaita Acharya would call Lord Nityananda a reject Paramahamsa. Reject Paramahamsa. So anyway, so there was all these different interactions with Lord Nityananda. And so Bhamsi Das Babaji was also an avaduta in the same way. So anyway, that's all the information I have about Bhamsi Das Babaji. There's more in his biography if anyone wants to read on the internet, but I didn't have time to print it out. So anybody have any questions or comments or arguments? Or problems? No?
Stuff related.
Yeah, that's all right. You can, even if it's not related.
Reading Bhagavatam is an expression that in traditional Vedic times, the women actually take formal initiation from a spiritual master.
This is it's an interesting question. It's a controversial question about women taking initiation. Yeah, so there's two types of initiation. Actually, three types. but we're just going to talk about two types. There's Pancharatrika initiation. Actually, three types we'll talk about. Pancharatrika, Bhagavad Vidhi, and Vedic. So in the Vedic system, you know, the Vedic system, traditional, ritualistic, Brahmanist, we're not talking about Vaishnavism right now. We're talking about ritualistic Brahmanists. The women would not take initiation, or they would get the mantra from their husband. And this way they would be considered Brahmins. But in the Pancharatrika system and the Bhagavad Vidhi system, the women would take initiation. So that's why you have that distinguishing thing. You know, sometimes you hear these descriptions that, you know, the women would either take initiation from their husbands or not take initiation. But that's referring to the Vedic system. In the Vedic system, the women would not take initiation or get the mantra from their husbands. One of the two things would happen. But in Pancharatrika system, it's transcendental to bodily distinctions. Pancharatrika and also Vaishnava Pancharatrika, because there's actually, you know, left-handed Pancharatra and there's Vedic Pancharatra. But in the Vaishnava Pancharatra, all people, men, women, children, can take that sort of initiation. In the Vedic system, you have the little boys taking initiation from the guru when they were like 5 or 6 years old, and they get their Brahman thread, and they get the Brahma Gayatri, you know, the first line of the Gayatri. So there's different systems. We follow the Pancharatrika system and also the Bhagavad Vidhi system. So the ladies do take initiation. Is that right? Does that answer your question?
So the
Bhagavad Vidhi is the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, Krishna Katha, the chanting of the Lord's holy names, you know, the Japa Mala, Kirtan, all that's Bhagavad Vidhi. A Pancharatrika Vidhi is deity worship and regulated worship in the temple.
So is Bhagavad Vidhi more akin to a Shiksha?
A Bhagavad Vidhi is a Shiksha, yeah. Is more Shiksha. And Pancharatrika Vidhi is more connected with Diksha. Although you need Shiksha to do Pancharatrika, you know, if you don't have instruction to do Pancharatrika, follow Pancharatrika Vidhi, you won't be able to follow it because there's instructions. There's the Archana Padati, that's all part of Pancharatrika Vidhi. And started by Narada Muni and the Narada Pancharatra. So, you know, we have to distinguish between these different Vidhis, because sometimes you'll hear nowadays people make arguments. Some people who may be inclined towards chauvinism will make arguments on the internet, oh, women are not supposed to take initiation. And they're really not understanding the distinction between Bhagavad Vidhi and Pancharatrika Vidhi and Vedic, the Vedic system. Yes, to be an original Vedic Brahman, you know, keeps the fires burning. Actually, that's interesting. Even in America, you say, keep the home fires burning. But anyway, it keeps the fire burning all the time. The women will not take that initiation. Although there may have been exceptions. For example, in the Upanishads, one of the primary speakers, her name is Gargi, the daughter of Gargamuni. So she's a Vedic Brahmin. So there are exceptions to that rule, even in the Vedic system. You know, Gargi, you know, lady, is speaking in many cases, giving Vedic or Vedic instructions in the Upanishads. So, yeah, so that's the point. Yeah, it's a controversy, you know, and some people say, well, the husband should be the one initiating the wife. Not true. It's not a good idea, except in exceptional cases. Srinivasacharya, after he was married, initiated the wife. His wives, two wives. He had two wives. However, there are exceptional cases where when one is already married, not that one initiates someone and gets married to them later on, because the relationship between disciple and guru is between father and son, father and daughter. You know, it's illicit for the guru to, you know, have that other relationship. It's not a compatible rasa-bhas relationship. Anyway, there's more to be said on that. Thank you very much for the question. It's an interesting question. and one that requires some elaboration on.
Okay, all glories to His divine grace.